Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
It is so great to be here this morning and to be able to share a message that God has laid on my heart. And while we're not going to talk about so much about the video that we saw the other night, so much of what God has poured into Mike during worship and Pastor Barry just now just feeds. It just sets up so well the message that he has today. What we're going to talk about is prayer. And we're not going to do a 10 steps to a better prayer life or anything like that where, you know, we're just going to talk a little bit about what prayer really means and what it is when we're praying to God. And for me, it's one of those things. I think the two things are Bible study and prayer are the things that you just struggle with the most and make the time that you need to for those things. And even though prayer has played such an important part in my life, many of you don't know because I've probably never shared this before, but when I was 11 years old when I accepted Christ, I was brought up in the church. So I went to Sunday school. I was in children's church. So I was fed every week the word. But what it was that really touched my heart on a particular Sunday evening was a dismissal prayer that a gentleman gave at Park Baptist Church in Ferguson, Missouri. That's where we attended at the time. And I went home afterwards and talked to my mom about it. I said, there was just something about, it wasn't even so much the words, it was just the way that the gentleman prayed in dismissal that just touched my heart. And I said, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. And so Mom prayed me through that night, and then next Sunday morning I came forward and made a public profession of faith through a gentleman's prayer. And when we talk to people about prayer, so many times folks are uncomfortable with it. And even by themselves, not even in a corporate setting, but by themselves, they're uncomfortable about praying to God. And so what we do to encourage them is to say, well, prayer is just talking to God. That's all you're doing. You're just talking to God. We try to use that to kind of pave the way. And as God was giving me this message today, what I realized was that's only part of the equation. Because what that implies is we're sitting there and we are literally speaking to God. We're just telling him, all right, this is what's going on. This person's sick. This person has this need. I have this need. And we're just talking to God. And what we're missing is the fact that prayer is truly a conversation with God. It's a back and forth. It's us talking to God and then allowing God to speak back into us. Pastor Barry just talked a moment ago about the precious babbles of grandchildren, and my grandchildren that are currently living with us are 7 and 8, but they still babble. Especially my little Bellaboo. I just love that little girl so much. But when we have conversations, it is a one-way street. That girl can talk for 15 minutes and not take a breath. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I remember when I used to pick them up at preschool at sunrise, she would start talking when she got in the car and would not stop till we got home. Matter of fact, this morning she rode to church with me. Same thing. Her way of taking a break is not breathing. It's, hey, Papa. Hey, Papa. Hey, Papa. You know, oh, okay. Yeah, you got me. I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere, but that's her way of kind of taking a break and catching her breath. And I know she's going to really be embarrassed because now I'm going to call her out. You just called her out. I'm going to call her out. My wife, Carmen, taught me this concept of conversation and prayer. Because when we were first married and we would pray at night, she would start off, she would pray. And it would be very, you know, it wasn't just God, this is what I got, you know. It would be very thoughtful. And then there'd be a pause. So I'm like, after a couple seconds, I'm like, are you done? Because I'm waiting for an amen so I can jump in and do my thing, you know? No, she wasn't done. She was taking time to listen, you know, to listen to God and let God speak into her. You know, what should I pray next? I just finished reading a book called Moving Mountains by John Eldridge. And Teresa, if you put that quote up. It's about prayer, and it says, and in the book he says, at its very best, all prayer is deep communion, drawing us into intimacy and union with our God. That's the part we miss, is that communion and that union when we're praying. As I said earlier, we're too much into going through our prayer list and just giving that to God, and then I've prayed, amen, I'm done. You know, let's move on. And Pastor Barry and Mike, earlier what Mike was talking about, let's block out the things on the outside that are keeping us from worship. And that's true with our prayer life as well. Let's not get so caught up in making it routine and I've done this and now it's time to move on. We need to block out those outside things that'll stop us from having a great prayer life. And one of the things is, you know, every opportunity I get when I'm up here, I talk about having an intimate relationship with God, or our Father, as Pastor Barry just, our Father, our Dad, as Pastor Barry just did. I'm not going to sit down because my knee will hurt too much, but sitting, you know, sitting down there and Him wanting us to sit right next to Him. That's the kind of relationship He wants with us. Turn to John chapter 17. And oftentimes when we think about Jesus praying in the garden, we just think about He's there, He's in the garden, the disciples, they fell asleep, and then Jesus is arrested. And John chapter 17 is a great picture of what the prayer is that Jesus was praying at that time. And it's actually broke up, if you go to the chapter, it's broke up into three different parts. The first part is Jesus praying for Himself. And the next part is Jesus praying for the disciples that He's been teaching, ministering to for these past 3 years. And then the last part, and the part we're going to look at, is Jesus praying for future believers. So starting in verse 22, it says, I have given them the glory You gave Me, so that we may be one, so that they may be one as We are one. Oneness, a unity, an intimacy. I am in them, and You are in Me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that You sent Me and that You love them as much as You love Me. Father, I want those whom You have given Me to be with Me where I am. Jesus wants us with Him. Oneness, intimacy. I cannot say that word enough. Then they can see all the glory You gave Me because You loved Me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know You, but I do. And these disciples know You sent Me. I have revealed You to them, and I will continue to do so. Then Your love for Me will be in them, and I will be in them, being in one another. Again, that's so much what Jesus wants. He wants that closeness. He doesn't want us to just take 5 minutes out of our day to kind of run through our laundry list of needs. He wants that constant companionship with us, that intimacy. In the book, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers said, prayer is perfect and complete oneness with God. That's what we should be striving for in our prayer life. And we don't need, as I said, we don't need 10 steps or whatever. We just need to take that one step to just continue to build that relationship with our Father. And Jesus taught this so much through His time here in His ministry on earth while He was here, as He was pouring into the disciples. And in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer is there. And we use that so much when we start to talk about prayer. we go and talk about what the Lord's Prayer was. But just prior to that, Jesus is talking about how prayer is a one-on-one relationship with God. In verse 5, it says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." And again, that's not to say there is a time and a place for public and corporate prayer. And here in this setting, we have times of prayer. Someone will pray. You know, Mike prayed us during worship. Pastor Barry had a time of prayer. Later we'll have a prayer. We'll pray over an offering, right? We'll have a good prayer over the offering. We'll pray, and then we'll pray to be dismissed and to go on into our daily life. But we shouldn't do it as a time of trying to look good, you know, drawing attention to ourselves. What we should be doing is just taking that time to get away. It's just us and Jesus, us and our Father talking, having conversation, and not be caught up in about it being all, we got to say the right words. We got to use the right voice, you know, "Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for..." We do. We get way too caught up in that. So much so that I have a video I want to show you real quick. Go ahead and run that, Teresa.
Have you ever been told by a Christian friend that they wanted to love on you and it made you feel uncomfortable? Has a believer ever asked you who you were doing life with and you didn't know what to say? Has someone ever invited you to a fellowship, but you didn't go because you don't even know what that is? Hi, I'm regionally semi-successful Christian music recording artist Micah Tyler, and I'm here to help solve a problem that so many in our world face today by offering to you a new program, Rosetta Stone Christianese. Unlike Hebrew and Greek, which are only learned by your pastor so they can impress you with one line each Sunday morning, Rosetta Stone Christianese will teach you to communicate the Lord's true language for the church today. With Rosetta Stone Christianese, you'll learn words and phrases like being relevant, unspoken prayer requests, quiet time, and I see that hand. You'll also learn measurements like tenfold, 100-fold, a season, and much, much more. As you mature in your relationship with Christ and His bride, we also offer advanced courses in Southern Drawl, West Coast Slang, and King James Version. So whether you're on your computer, riding in your car to a Bible study, or even in your prayer closet, Rosetta Stone Christianese will give you the tools that you need to grow and bear fruit in your Christian walk and your Christian talk. And that's not all. With your order today, you will also receive a free church-signed pocket decoder that will help you dig into the theological depths of every roadside treasure. Signs like sunscreen prevents sunburn, God answers an email, and what's missing? Car. So log on to our website, sign up today, and begin the journey of a lifetime by conforming to the ways of these words. And if you are not fully satisfied within the first 40 days and 40 nights of purchasing this program, well, bless your heart. There are no refunds. May the Lord give you a hedge of protection and traveling mercies wherever your feet may carry you. I'm Micah Tyler. Peace be with you.
So I take it from the reaction, you all kind of know what I'm talking about there. And when I told Carmen I was going to put that in there, she thought I needed to clear it with Pastor Barry because he's throwing a couple of those out. And I did, and he was fine with it, so we're all good. I'm not going to be called to the third floor at Lewis and Clark. But we do. We get so caught up in having to say the right things, thinking we got to use a certain word. And like I said, say it in a certain way. And I know if I go into, and quite honestly, I admit I don't go there very often, especially because there's so many ways, other ways to get material these days. But when you go into a Christian bookstore sometimes, how many times do you see that where, you know, they think they have to greet you in a certain manner? And so what if I'm, you know, coming in off the street because maybe somebody sent me there to look for something, but this does not, you know, it's not an environment I'm comfortable with, and I hear you are saying, you know, bless you, child, and, you know, that kind of thing, that it makes people uncomfortable. And not that God obviously does not use those words, but that's not the relationship he's looking for with us. He's looking for us to be able to talk to him one-on-one. In Mark chapter 1, I told Pastor Barry we were going to have little Bible drillers this morning, so chapter 1, verse 35, it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. God's Son modeled exactly what we should be doing. He wasn't there like, I am Jesus, Son of God. I am praying before you now. He started his day by going out, going alone, and spending time, one-on-one time with God. And then it wasn't just, again, it wasn't going through a checklist of a prayer request. It was, what is on my heart? I need to really pour out to you and let you pour into me. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of the deep reverence for God. This deep reverence for God. He had a reverence for God. He had that relationship with God. And he poured his soul out to God. And then made himself available to let God speak back into him. Because he was here, he walked the earth to do a ministry for God. But just because he was the Son of God, he didn't think he had all the answers. He didn't approach in that way. He took time. He took time every morning. He took time to pour his heart out to God and let God reveal to him what he wanted. And with that, we have to be persistent. Persistence is good. Sometimes we think that I prayed for this. God's got it. I can move on. No, we pray over and over and over. And it's not because God doesn't know, because God knows our hearts. He knows what those needs are. But will we bring those to him? Does it mean enough to us to keep putting it before him? So because we got to make sure we mix in a little Old Testament, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is where Elijah has, with God by his side, Elijah has taken on the prophets of Baal. And he's defeated those prophets with God walking with him. And there had been a time of drought, 3 years of drought. And after Elijah defeated the prophets, it was time to end the drought. So starting in verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. At this point, there's no evidence of rain. And there hasn't been for 3 years. But Elijah says, hey, go get ready. Go eat. Go be, you know, whatever you got to do. Go get ready because there is rain on the way. So Ahab went to eat and drink. Elijah said, go eat and drink. I'm going to go eat and drink. But Elijah climbed up to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. He said, I'm here to pray for the rain that I said is about to come. Verse 43, then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Now, at that point right there, we're like, okay, I prayed. It didn't happen. God's not answering my prayer. That's it. And I'm, you know, he's got something else in mind. I'm okay. I put it before him. I'm done. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. So Elijah was persistent in his prayer. I'm going to keep praying for this rain. I'm going to pray. Verse 44, finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand coming to rise from the sea. Now, in our house, that is a sign of rain because that's what Eli says. If there's a little bit cloud in the sky, a little wind, it is raining, and we need to hunker down. But maybe he knows something. But for the most part, if we see a little cloud, we don't think anything about seeing a little cloud in the sky. But as soon as Elijah got that report back that there was a cloud, he said, all right, it's time. Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Seven times Elijah got down, prayed, servant, go check. Nothing. Pray. Servant, go check. Seven times. And then when he saw that little cloud, he said, all right, it's coming. It's coming. You know, I saw an analogy about this where it's talking about, you know, when you're chopping a tree. You don't hit it just one time with an axe and it goes down. You have to hit it repeatedly over and over and over until it finally succumbs and falls over. Persistence. Just think about things in your life where if you just a little persistence meant so much to you. 14 years ago, I saw this young lady at work, and I worked nights, she worked days, so we didn't see each other all the time, but sometimes she'd work nights, and I'd talk to her a little bit. And I had a buddy, Dave, that I worked with who knew no strangers and would talk to her constantly. And he said, you need to ask her out. You need to go ask her out. And I'm like, I don't know, you know. Part of it was the whole work thing, kind of. I was a little unsure about that, but, you know, being in a work environment. But when I got a chance and I moved into a different position, I said, all right, I'm going to find her number and I'm going to call her and ask her out. And I did. And she said no. In her defense, my timing was not great because I called her the day before Valentine's Day, so that was probably not a good idea, but she actually had plans with a girlfriend. All right. A few days later, I try again. Hey, what are you doing? You want to go out? No. I have plans. Oh, okay, now I'm starting to, maybe I kind of misread this situation here, and maybe she really doesn't have any interest, and I need to move on. But then she tucked a little note under my keyboard one day at work. She said, don't give up. Don't give up. And I didn't. She said, all right, one more time, I'm going to ask. And then she said yes. And I'm so glad that I kept with it because her face is the first thing I see in the morning and the last thing I see when I go to bed. Because God has blessed me. What if I had said no? What if I just said, I got to walk away from this? And what if I decided to walk away when her dad first told me no when I asked for his permission to marry her? That required a little perseverance as well. We have to be persistent. And one other thing I want to touch on real quick is it's okay to have an open, honest discussion with God. He knows there's going to be times when maybe we're not exactly on the same page as him. In Acts chapter 9, we know that this is the passage where, throughout the chapter, this is where Saul, who becomes Paul, is converted. And there's a player in there called Ananias. So when God's talking to Saul, he says, I want you to go to this place. I got someone there who is going to take care of you. Because, you know, Saul's been blinded now. He needs someone to help him along the way. I have someone there who's going to take care of you and provide for you. Now, this person wasn't quite on the same page as God was. As God went to him and said, Ananias, I got a man named Saul. I need you to go down to this house and I need you to minister to him. Verse 13 says, But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who call upon his name. Not a guy I'm really sure about going and trying to help here. And are you sure you're what you're saying there? But the Lord said, Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God didn't chastise Ananias for questioning. It was okay. It was okay to question. Because they had the kind of relationship where Ananias could say, Hey, I'm not too sure about this. And God said, I get it, I understand, but this is what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and go, because this I have great things in store for this man, and I need you to be the vehicle to help make that happen. As you know, many of you know now, about 2.5 weeks ago, I had a dear friend that went home to be with the Lord. And his wife, a few days after the funeral and the service, when she had a time to kind of gather her thoughts, she put a posting on Facebook, just kind of reaching out to folks to let her know how things were going, let everybody know how things were going. And I asked for her permission to share this with you. In there it says, I believe that the secret, and I love how she says, hopefully you all know it wasn't a secret, to us being able to do anything together was Jesus. Jesus hasn't abandoned the kids and I. Even though there are times that I ask why and tell him how much I disapprove, and in parentheses, that may be one of the nicer words that I use, disapprove, of his plan right now, I trust that he has a plan and we are not forgotten and he knows our pain. Someday he will turn mourning into dancing, fear into strength, hopelessness into hope, confusion into understanding, chaos into order, pain into joy. A young widow with two children has lost her husband and she's confused. And she's has no problem expressing that to God because she has that kind of relationship with him where she's at, because in the end, she doesn't curse God. She knows that God is going to be there and take care of them. And it was okay for her to say, hey, I'm a little hurt right now by what's happened, but I know that you're there for me. And it's okay for us to, if we have that kind of relationship with our Father where we're in constant communication with him, and I cannot stress that enough, it's back and forth. It's us talking to him and then waiting to allow him to talk to us. And he gets that sometimes that, you know, I understand, but I'm there with you. I am there with you. So in closing, I just want to encourage you to take the time to, when you're on your knees, when you're in your prayer closet, and hopefully you don't have your Christianese Rosetta Stone headphones on at the time, listening to the right words to say. But that you just take that time to talk to God and then wait and allow Him to talk back to you. And just build on that communication. And it is a form of worship. It is worship. That is so much worship, because we are opening ourselves, our hearts up to our Father. So Father, just thank you so much for being there for us, having an ear to listen as we call out to you. But not only in having an ear, but in having a voice to speak back to us and tell us that you're there with us. And I pray, Father, that we have the ears that are open and to listen to your voice and to your leading, Lord. And to know that you're just there to cover us with your arms, to take us in, Father, and to walk with us on this journey. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.